Tennessee is set to take on Arkansas this Saturday in Fayetteville, 7:30 kickoff. I got a question for you. Is this a trap game? That's segment one. Segment two, I'm going to give you my own power ratings in the conference, not to be confused with rankings. Segment three, we're just going to make our way around the SEC and talk the weekend that was. Let's get it.
Pandemonium reigns.
All right, again, thank you so much for tuning in and spending your time with me on this edition of Pandemonium Reigns. I'm Dan, my co-host Mike. Still, just kind of coming at you to some solo ways, and that seems to be the thing that you guys like as traction has really picked up. I've enjoyed listening to him and his perspective in a solo way, but I want to get into Arkansas, man. Let's get into Arkansas. Arkansas is 3-2 on the year thus far, and a really, really disappointing 3-2 because they're right there. I mean, they're just a few plays away from being 5-0. They lost to Oklahoma State in Stillwater in overtime, and they've now lost to Texas A&M again, 21-17 in Dallas. And that's the key word for Arkansas. Again, they've lost to A&M again. That Arkansas A&M rivalry is a lot like that of Tennessee Florida, where Arkansas just can't seem to get it done over the Aggies. Tennessee just can't seem to get it done over the Gators. Arkansas and A&M are no longer going to play this game in Dallas. It's going to go to a home and home next year, as it should, as it, neutral site games are just the absolute worst, as it should. But if I'm an Arkansas fan, I don't ever want to step foot in that stadium ever, ever again. Just the way that has gone, I believe it's 11 of 12 or 12 of the last 13, something like that. I think they've only won once. It's just pure insanity what A&M has done over Arkansas. And Arkansas has had a couple good runs there. And A&M's had a couple good runs as well, but they've been down, so that's just really frustrating. If you are an Arkansas fan, just like, man, why can't we beat the Aggies? But this is where they're at. This is where they're at. They're in a bit of a struggle right now. I took a little bit of time to listen to Locked On Razorbacks this morning, and that fan base right now just feels defeated. It just feels defeated. But the game, or the question that I want to ask you regarding Arkansas is this. Tennessee fans, is this a trap game? Let's take a look right here at the Tennessee schedule. And I just want you to pay attention what is on deck for Tennessee coming up. Obviously, again, traveling to Arkansas this Saturday, but turning around and following that right up, you're hosting Florida. And then you're hosting Bama. And then you're hosting Kentucky, what I believe is a bye week between Alabama and Kentucky. Is it possible that Tennessee could be looking forward to Florida? Listen, I don't think that the Vols are going to come out in the losing column of this game. But I do think these things are the recipe for a trap game. Tennessee just hasn't beaten Florida. We just haven't done it. We should have done it in 2024, or excuse me, in 2023, but we didn't. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, we didn't. Lost to Billy Napier. I don't care the excuses. I don't care the reasons. We lost. It's over. It is in the history books. That is a bad loss on Heupel's end. We had enough roster, we had enough schematics, we had enough whatever you want to call it to get it done over Florida, and we just didn't do it. Now consider this. Arkansas's got some dangerous pieces. Taylen Green, you got a guy here who can extend the play, bit of a cannon of an arm, you know, can be an electrifying player. You've got the leading rusher in the conference in Jaquindon Jackson. You got this elite pass rusher. Shoot, I forget his name. This is poor podcasting. Number 40 for Arkansas defensive end who could create some serious problems for our tackles. especially if we don't get this Lance Herd thing figured out. We got Florida on deck. It's all the recipes for a upset. You even add in the fact, the rumor that we are bringing back the orange helmets for this game. I hope this to not be true, by the way. I don't ever want to see those orange helmets ever, 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 ever again. And I'm not saying that we lost to South Carolina in 2022 because we were wearing orange helmets. I'm saying we were wearing orange helmets when we did lose to South Carolina in 2022. But let me take you back in time just for a little bit before we get into Arkansas statistically. Heupel, every year thus far, at Tennessee, has lost a game he shouldn't have. Let's travel back a little bit. Talk 2023 just for a minute. It was the Florida game. You don't lose that game. You have no business losing that game. Graham Mertz nickel and dimed you down the field. Kamal Haddon didn't finish a tackle on Etienne. You know, there's no business losing that game. Needless to say, you did lose it. It is what it is. 2022. Close your ears. South Carolina. We had no business losing this game. Zip, none, nada. It should not have happened, but it did. I am a conspiracy theorist. I believe that they had an advantage that they normally didn't have. It doesn't matter. Shouldn't have lost that game in 2022. Shouldn't have happened. Georgia should have been our only loss in 2022. 2021, this one might throw you through the ringer a little bit. Pitt, we shouldn't have lost this Pitt game. I'm going to pin this one more on the officials than I will Heupel. Heupel was figuring out Milton, Hooker, and this is the game where Milton goes down and Hooker comes in. But there were some really bad calls on did he get the first down, did he not. Pretty sure Jalen Wright was that ball carrier in his freshman year. We found a way to lose that one, all right? Now, I'm not dogging the culture. I'm not dogging Heupel, none of those things. I am so glad that Josh Heupel is at the helm of this football program. But every year so far, he's lost a game that he should not have, all right? And it's just as you look at this schedule play out, if there is a trap game, it's Arkansas. It's Arkansas. Because, again, hosting Florida, hosting Bama, hosting Kentucky after a bye week, hosting Mississippi State, which, who is Mississippi State? They gave Texas a run there for their money a little bit. I'm not going to call that one a trap game, but just because they're just not near as good. They might be the worst team in the conference. Traveling to Georgia, UTEP's not a trap game, and then at Vanderbilt. So if there's a trap game on here, it's Arkansas. Now let's take a look at Arkansas statistically. A couple slides here you can tell I'm a pastor. A couple of images here where we can see, breakdown on the conference statistically. The first thing we got here is total offense. And leading your conference is Ole Miss. And Arkansas, right there, fourth. Fourth in the conference in total yards per game at 495. Pretty dang solid, right? Pretty dang solid. Tennessee, right there in second with 565. Moving over to total defense, Tennessee leading the way. Now, I'd be curious to know where Georgia fell into this pre-Alabama game, but Tennessee, the only team in the conference under 200 yards. Allowing 176 yards per game. I get it. Oklahoma's offense, at least with Jackson Arnold, not very good. Chattanooga, NC State just wasn't very good. I get it. Four games, though, under 200 yards. By golly, I'm going to take it. Arkansas, way down there at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ninth in the conference. They've played five games. They've played one more game than Tennessee, allowing 319 yards per game. Now, we get into the passing statistics here, and Jackson Dart leading the way. Nico at 10th in the conference, 892 yards, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And I'm struggling to find my man, Talen Green. There he is, third in the conference, 1,200 yards, 1,236 yards. Impressive. But what separates him and every other quarterback in the top five of this conference? So you got Jackson Dart, 13 touchdowns, Garrett Nussmeier, 15 touchdowns, Carson Beckett, fourth, 10 touchdowns, Peyton Thorne, 10 touchdowns, Talen Green, 5. Only 5 scores. Arkansas is just not putting up points, and he's got 5 picks on the year. And as I'm glancing over this, that's going to be second worst in the conference, right behind Peyton Thorne there. So there's things that you like about, or that you'll certainly want to like about Talen Green. He's moving the ball, but not finding the end zone, and he's turning it over. This is more the part that concerns me. Jaquindon Jackson currently leading the conference in rushing, 509 yards. This dude is a baller, and he has to have one of the best names in college football. Jaquindon Jackson, 9 touchdowns. There's only one more guy, though, who's found the end zone more times than he, and that's Dylan Sampson. But Jackson's got 509 yards, on the year to Sampson's 449. Then we get into receiving. Trey Harris from Ole Miss is leading the conference. And you got Andrew Armstrong for Arkansas, 29 catches, 420 yards, no scores, none. No scores. I think that stat is pretty much reflective of Talen Green, right? Just not getting into him. Let's move over to the defensive side on your statistical leaders here. So your total tackle leaders in the conference, Xavien Sory at number 8, at least tied for number 8, linebacker for Arkansas, 32 tackles. Let's see here. He's got a sack. And then you go down to 14th, TJ Metcalf, defensive back for Arkansas, 28 tackles. And then if you keep going at 20th, Danico Slaughter. No Tennessee volunteer listed here on the screen. That could be a positive. That could very much be a positive. That's not a bad thing at all. That means your entire unit could be doing the work. That could mean what that stat means. Defensively, your sacks, you got to go all the way down to number 18, Landon Jackson. That's his name, Landon Jackson, number 40, the stud defensive end that I was telling you about. He's going to be a problem. Tennessee fans, if you don't know who he is, you need to figure it out real quick. He's got 2 sacks on the year, 18 total tackles, but he's tied with Tyree West, who's also got 2 sacks on the year. So there's just nothing here that absolutely jumps off to you statistically for Arkansas. But again, how many times have the no-names come in against Tennessee and put on a Heisman performance? Again, Talen Green, his potential concerns me. It is worrisome. I do think that We will find ways to get to him in the backfield. I do think that's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if he throws a pick. I mean, he's got 5 touchdowns on the year, 5 picks on the year. I think what you have to do more so is keep Jaquindon Jackson in check, which we've been doing a really good job so far in suppressing the opponent's run. Let's take a peek here at – I'm just going to read this to you. You're not going to see this on the screen. These team stats for this Arkansas A&M game here. What blows my mind about this is the categories in which they won statistically, but still found a way to lose this game altogether. So Arkansas had more first downs than A&M, 22-17. Can move the chains 22 times. They were 5-for-15 on third down efficiency. Okay, that's not good. But A&M was 4-for-13. That's really not good. Arkansas was 2-for-3 on fourth down. That's going to include that punt, that fake punt, excuse me, for Arkansas, 66%, 379 yards of total offense for Arkansas to A&M's 297. Not a lot of yards here for either one, but you outgained them pretty significantly in my mind. You outpassed them 279 to a buck 63. Get this. Talen Green, or quarterbacks, I'm not even sure if somebody else had a pass for Arkansas, but they were 23 for 41 through the air, Arkansas was. A&M was 11 for 22. A&M completed 11 passes and won this game. Arkansas threw a pick. A&M did not. Arkansas rushed for 100 yards. A&M ran for 134 yards. If you look at these stats and you tell me Arkansas is going to have more total offense, they're going to move the chains more, they're going to pass more, and they're going to hold A&M to 134 rushing yards on 3.5 yards per carry, because that's 38 attempts. I'm telling you, this is an Arkansas win. I'm just telling you. Your time of possession, 30 minutes, 39 seconds for Arkansas, 29 minutes, 21 seconds for Texas A&M. This is one of those losses that I think can really deflate a fan base. I mean, look at Tennessee, Florida. Should have done it in 15. Should have done it in 23. And we just come off of those games and just like the wind is out of our sails. If Arkansas had gone into Dallas over this past weekend and found a way to get a win over A&M, I would not have a different outcome, but I would have a different feeling regarding this game. And I would say this is all the makings, all the ingredients for an upset, for a trap game, for Arkansas to host this and pull it off. Sam Pittman is getting to the place where he's going to be coaching for his job. I mean, they have it queued up that jukebox in a hot minute. It is really close. Really close to, you know, for Tennessee to be going, oh, man, I don't think Tennessee can get caught sleeping. I don't think Tennessee can be flat-footed. I don't think they can come out with multiple, you know, three and outs in offense and allow this, you know, this Razorback fan base stadium to stay in this game. I don't think you want that. I don't think you want to pump life into Arkansas or their fan base at this point. Get up early. Stay on them early. Put your foot on their throat. Take the life out of them. I like Sam Pittman. I don't want to be the reason that Sam Pittman's tenure in Arkansas ended. I want him to win there. Tennessee hasn't played Arkansas since 2020, and you know that whole season just has a big asterisk on it. The only good thing out of 2020 is it was the last run for Jeremy Pruitt in Knoxville. I like Sam Pittman. If Ellerbe ever decides to call it quits as the offensive line coach in Tennessee, I want Sam Pittman. All right. I want to see this guy succeed. But Arkansas needs this one really, really bad. They need this one bad because they're going to turn around and host LSU after this. And that's not going to be a gimme just because of the rivalry factor, right? And, you know, LSU, say what you want, 4-1. Okay. Coulda, woulda, shoulda lost to South Carolina. They're going to travel to Mississippi State. Again, Mississippi State did what they held against Texas, maybe I should say. They're going to host Ole Miss. That's probably a loss. You're going to host Texas. That's a loss. Louisiana Tech and Missouri. And who's Missouri? So, Tennessee, don't get caught sleeping. I don't think you're going to lose this game. I feel pretty confident. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd put a lot of money on Tennessee right here. But it does have the makings to be a trap game. Let's do some ratings for the top 10 in the nation. So let's just jump right into this. So this is ratings, not rankings, just so I'm completely and totally clear. Rankings are more about what you've done, at least it should be anyway. The Associated Press, a lot like the Heisman voters, just not a lot of logic to what they do and what they decide and who they put where and whatever, so forth and so on. This is why I like the idea of ratings better. It's based off this. It's Josh Pate's model. And when I say model, if these two teams were to play head-to-head on neutral turf tomorrow, who am I taking? Who am I taking? So pretty simple concept. It's not a matter of – don't go into the comments and say, well, this team beat – it's not what this is. It's ratings. It's not rankings. So in the 10 spot here, I'm going to put Southern Cal. Now, the Associated Press has USC here at 11, just below Michigan and just above Ole Miss. So let's just lay that right there. USC number 10 just as some groundwork, and I went with USC. I went with USC over teams like Missouri just because I think the verdict is still out on Missouri. I think we've seen more of Southern Cal. If Southern Cal and Missouri are going to buckle up and make pads contact one another tomorrow, I'm going to go with USC. All right. That's also going to be above Ole Miss, who totally just wet the bed against Kentucky, and I'm totally here for it. All right. So groundwork there. USC number 10. I've got Michigan at 9. Part of this, I'm going to sound totally contradictory here, but part of this is because they've played the game already, and we saw a visible outcome. I am all about the head-to-head and what happened on the field. We saw it. Michigan put the ball on the ground, did what they had to do, played Michigan-style ball, and got it done. All right. But now, as we get to the 8th spot, Penn State and Michigan – it's coming. And Michigan is a little too one-dimensional for me. And I still think the verdict is out on Penn State. But I'm going to put Penn State at the 8th spot. All right? Penn State at the 8th spot. The Associated Press has got Penn State at 7, above Miami at 8, and Mizzou at 9. But I just don't like that. I don't like that at all. You put Penn State and Michigan on the field tomorrow, I think I'm going to go Penn State. At 7, I've got Oregon. The Ducks coming in hot, who got off to a rough start, a slow start, and are continuing to build some momentum. Gabriel is beginning to find his own. You put Oregon and Penn State on the field tomorrow, which I don't know if they're on one another's schedule. It'd be totally awesome if that were the case. We'd let the field determine, but give me Oregon at 6. Got Miami. I got the Hurricanes, who struggled with a Virginia Tech team who is better than their record. That's probably the way that I should word that. Virginia Tech's better than their record. Went toe-to-toe with them right there in Coral Gables, Florida. Came down to a really, really arguable play. And what the ruling on the field was, and can you actually overturn that? If you haven't seen that, go check out those highlights. Give me Miami at 6. I'm going to put Tennessee at 5. I'm going to put Tennessee at 5. I got Tennessee at 5, Ohio State at 4, Georgia at 3, Bama at 2, Texas at 1. Let me kind of summarize all this in one little stint here. I have Tennessee at 5. Basically, what I'm saying here is I think these are the, as of right now, well, where we stand in week 6, these are the only 4 teams that can beat Tennessee on a neutral turf. All right. If both teams are playing to their capabilities and both teams are doing what they do, I think there's really only 4 teams that can beat us. And I think Ohio State's one of them, just because Ohio State is loaded. But they haven't played anybody. You can make the same argument for us. You can make the same argument for us. Ohio State is just insanely loaded. And if you put Ohio State and Georgia on the same turf tomorrow, make them play it out, after this Bama loss, I don't know that I see Georgia losing. Which, again, sounds contradictory since I have 2 teams above them. But look for Georgia to catch fire. Hard-pressed to say that Kirby's got another loss this regular season. I hope it's us, but at this moment in time, that game is in Athens, and I don't like our odds, all right? Look for Georgia to start drawing serious blood over the next course of weeks. Alabama at 2, they did it. It's been done. The game was played. And it was one of the most electric games, possibly game of the year. This Ryan Williams kid for Bama, the worst thing about him, there's two really bad things about him. One, he's not on your team. Two, Kalen DeBoer is his head coach. So if you're not a Bama fan, those are two really problematic things, right? This kid is only 17. Sorry, I know you've only heard that 1,000 times so far. He's only 17, and he is proving to be absolutely elite, all right? And Kalen DeBoer is just continuing to chalk up wins in that column, all right? Finally, Texas. One of the very few teams in this country who can lose a quarterback the caliber of Quinn Ewers and say, it's fine. Check this out. We're good. We're good. Sarkisian's going to be able to dial it up no matter who the QB is. Right now, as of week 6, you got to like Texas to win the whole thing, I think. I think they could trade blows with Alabama. They could obviously trade blows with Georgia, Ohio State, even us, Tennessee. But that's my top 10. Love it, hate it, agree with it, disagree with it. I would love to know your comments and the thoughts. Just remember as you comment, it is ratings, not rankings. It's based off what I think. If these two teams line up tomorrow, who's going to win that game? All right, segment 3 here. Let's just make our way around the conference a little bit, and let's start with Kentucky and Ole Miss. Oh, Lane Kiffin. Oh, boy. So, the Gator administration, if Florida is actually considering Lane Kiffin, you have to be reconsidering things after that performance on Saturday. Kentucky bullied you around. They were more physical than you, and it showed on the scoreboard 2017 in Kentucky's favor. I think my man Mike has nailed it with Lane Kiffin. Is it possible that Lane Kiffin just has a ceiling and he just can't go past, he just can't break through? Would it change if you put him in a different environment, location on the map with a different brand or logo? If it's instead of Colonel Reb, it is, you know, Florida Gator. Who knows? But if I am a Gator fan, I'm looking at Kiffin going, gosh, I don't know that he is the answer after all. Kentucky went into Oxford and just kind of punched Ole Miss around. And it was a sight to behold, right? Never really going to celebrate a Kentucky win just because, how do I put this nicely? I loathe them. I loathe them. But congrats to Mark Stoops, man, for going into Oxford and getting that done. And now we make our way to Oklahoma and Auburn, where Oklahoma gets a 27-21 win in Auburn on the Plains, where Auburn controlled this thing, right? Throughout its entirety, until they didn't. Watching this game with a close friend of mine, he says, it would just be so Auburn for them to give this away right here. Linebacker sneaks down to the line of scrimmage for Oklahoma. Ball is snapped. He just drops back into the passing lane. Peyton Thorne throws it right to him. I mean, it's a great coverage disguise by Oklahoma. And Auburn's just never able to recover. Get this. Auburn had 26 first downs to Oklahoma's 11. Oklahoma was held to 2 for 11 on third down. Auburn was only 4 for 14, though. Oklahoma was 291 yards in total offense. Auburn was 482. Auburn passed for 338 yards. Oklahoma passed for 161. They both ran for the same. Oklahoma, 130. Auburn, 144. Here's my point. Statistically, Auburn, you had no business losing that game. And now you got to – I cannot believe that week 6 we're talking about, Is Hugh Freeze the guy on the plains? Bo Wallace completely threw him under the bus. And every person who follows college football who's not a casual knows that Freeze doesn't really take responsibility. He's going to pawn it off on somebody else. But what I heard on Saturday, seemed to take a little bit of the responsibility. Auburn's going to have to figure that one out. They're 2-3 right now. They're going to travel to Missouri. They're going to travel to Kentucky. They could go 0-2 in that stretch. They're going to host Vanderbilt. That is a losable game for them. UL Monroe, Texas A&M, Alabama. You're going to – oh, and I totally missed, Auburn and Georgia is their next game. Traveling to Georgia is their next game. Find me more wins. Not named UL Monroe. Because you can't say Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's improved. Improved enough to take advantage of a down Auburn team who struggles at the quarterback position, a position you can't afford to struggle, right? Mississippi State and Texas. 35-13 Texas's favor. Mississippi State kept this thing for a half. Don't say it's because Arch Manning. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. He was 26 for 31, 324 yards, and 2 scores. Is it just that offense? Is it just Levy? Who knows? Let's end right here on Georgia and Bama. What, again, is possibly the game of the year thus far. If you know about me personally, you know that I'm in Gainesville, Georgia. I'm about an hour out of Athens, Georgia, home of the University of Georgia, the Bulldogs. Everybody here knows I'm a massive Tennessee fan. The amount of times that I've been barked at, it can't be counted. I got asked on Sunday morning, what'd you think of that game last night? Let's see if I can mimic my response. Laughter in the face. Here's why. Because you got your butt handed to you, you came back, and then you got your heart broke. The only thing that could have made this better was it not being Alabama. If it could have just been, Auburn, Texas, Oklahoma, heck, Kentucky, had to be Alabama, didn't it? I think this was so bad for Georgia. Two words. Carson Beck. He was not good. I was sending texts to Michael and our good friend Colton during this thing. I was sending them images of Jarrett Gontano. Like, is this JG in a Carson Beck jersey? He was 27 for 50, 439 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. But that's the entire game. He was putting balls out there that had no business being put out there, that had no business being thrown. He was not good. They didn't run well. ATN was 12 for 55. They were 26 for 80 total. Arian Smith and Dylan Bell bailed them out. But now you got all this conversation surrounding Jalen Milroe. He's going to be in New York come the end of the season. Heisman this. What? I think your Heisman winner at the end of the season is going to be Travis Hunter, just because the people who vote for the Heisman winner don't actually watch the game, and Travis Hunter is just a household name, and he plays for Dion and Colorado, and he plays, offense and defense. Don't get me wrong. He's outstanding. But you could probably already go ahead and give him the trophy. We just know. Milroe should be, at this point right now, should be in New York come the season's end. 27 for 33, 374 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. 98.5 QBR. Stellar. He also led Bama in rushing. 16 for 117 and 2 scores. Responsible for 4 total touchdowns. This guy concerns me. This Tennessee-Bama game, he concerns me. And I haven't even mentioned Ryan Williams' name yet. 6 catches, 177 yards, and a touchdown. As long, 75. possibly the game of the year. We're learning a little bit more about Georgia. So maybe that Kentucky thing wasn't a fluke. Maybe they're getting bullied around a little bit. But good teams take losses like this and they bounce back. My mind can't help but to go to Clemson, I want to say 2016, where Deshaun Watson put the ball in the air nearly 60 times and lost at home to Pitt. They were never the same after that game, and it was better. They needed a loss like that to try to it basically reset them, put them right back on the right path. Good teams, and Georgia is a good team. I fully expect a Kirby Smart led football team to look at this and say, "All right, it's now in the rearview mirror. Our only option is to get better from here and start taking names of everybody else who is in front of us." Props to Georgia. And the fact that you got down and Tuscaloosa was on fire and you came back. I mean, that's tough to do. In Bryant-Denny Stadium against a high-powered offense like that? I mean, my math is right, you held Bama to, what, 10 points in the second half, something like that? I mean, Bama scored 28 in the first quarter. Here we go. It's not going to get any easier for Georgia. They're going to host Auburn. And you're saying, look at Auburn. And I would say, look at the history of that rivalry. Auburn should play with house money. Let's see what they do. Host Mississippi State. Okay, whatever. Travel to Texas. This Texas game is almost a must win. Actually, let me just summarize it this way. You're going to travel to Texas, you're going to travel to Oxford, and you're going to host us. All losable games. Is Ole Miss going to get it corrected? I'm not saying you're going to lose all three of those. That's not what I'm saying. Georgia's not going 8-4 in the year. That's not happening. But if you lose another one, and if you make it to Atlanta, and you're left and you lose that game, you might be out. Depending on how the rest of the chips fall, you might be out of the game, or you might be out of the playoffs. Game at Texas comes with a lot more pressure. You win that one, you kind of reset yourself for the playoff race. You lose that one, two losses going into Ole Miss and hosting Tennessee. That could be rough for you. Well, nonetheless, thank you guys for hanging out with me. I'm Dan, my co-host Mike. We're doing this thing solo right now. And I just want to say thank you for tuning in and checking us out. If you're on YouTube, go find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Google Play and give us 5 stars there and like us. And every little bit helps. And if you're listening on podcasts, go to YouTube. Make sure you like the video, you subscribe to the channel. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Growth has been absolutely insane lately. And it just means the absolute world to us that you take your time out of your day to listen to us. You know, and I've only got a little bit of football background, played a little bit of college ball, but man, super, super thankful. Thank you to our sponsors for getting this episode out to us, or out to you, for your listening pleasure. I'm Dan. Thanks for letting me tickle your ears. God bless. Go Vols.